It's the weekend, time for rest, relaxation, and another edition of New Wisco Weekend, a weekly look at issues, arts, entertainment, culture, and everything that makes New Wisco home. Now, here's your host, Northeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale.
On today's episode, we feel a jazz hot. Our theme is jazz and a little bit of blues. Amanda Nimmer rhapsodizes about small performance venues. Conrad Krieger turns the tempo up during an interesting interview with a high school basketball coach who's there for his students on and off of the courts. I've got stories about a local comedian and working while disabled. Pete Schwabba has our classic cinema pick of the week. Todd Michaels puts together a jazzy, bluesy playlist for us. And Terry Barr delivers our cover story by taking us inside the Oshkosh Jazz Festival. A little later, a conversation with festival host and jazz sensation, Northeast Wisconsin's own Janet Planet. But first, we're going to open the show with a story that might seem counterintuitive about a group of people called Sober Green Bay. Wisconsin ranks third in the USA for the number of bars per capita. Alcohol consumption is part of our culture. However, some groups are working to cultivate sober-friendly spaces within their communities. Sober Green Bay is one of those groups. John Plageman with Sober Green Bay says the organization works to reduce the use of harmful substances and wants to cultivate a sober-friendly environment within the community.
I went through rehab when I was 14, 15 years old. I was going to AA meetings when I was a teenager in high school. Imagine that.
Plageman says the culture in Wisconsin is based around drinking and adult beverages.
Graduation, Packer games, Friday nights, softball games, summer picnics, blah, 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 blah. Everybody's got the adult cooler. Everybody's got the kid cooler.
When people get sober, he says the first fear is that all the fun things are now over. But he says that's not the case.
When you get sober, the first fear, the first anxiety is everything I did that was fun is over. I can't do anything. Can't go fishing. Can't go deer hunt. Can't go up to the cabin anymore. Fish fries are out. Supper clubs are out. Packer games are out. Brewer games are out. Buck games are out. You know, even my kid's high school football game is out because we used to drink afterwards. Whatever. It's not. Yeah. It's absolutely not. There is a lot of us here, and what we're trying to promote is not only people that are in recovery, but people that are sober in general. I think the sobriety movement misses people that choose sobriety, whether it's religious, health, or just don't want to drink.
Plageman continues, whether in recovery or choosing sobriety for another reason, you are not alone.
My encouragement is you're not alone. There might be people out there that think, if I give up drinking, I am alone. Right. No, you are not alone. There's probably over 10,000, 15,000 people in Green Bay alone that are sober.
For information or to find more events with a sober theme, visit the Sober Green Bay Facebook page. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
This is New Wisco Weekend on WISS and WGBW.
Former University of Green Bay point guard Devontae Blanks hired as the new head coach for Schwabanon boys basketball. This comes after Mark Tomaszek stepped down as the head coach in April after five seasons. Blanks spent the last two seasons as the assistant. But it's not just basketball that drives Blanks. He wants to be a role model on and off the court and what he's devoted his life to.
Helping out the youth in the community. I run my own mentorship program. It's called Reflections Community Service Program. And I work with school districts. I work with counties, just trying to work on kids around the community, skill buildings, and just a better place, a better living situation for those guys.
Blank shares how he got acquainted with Tomaszek and asking if he could help turn into a job.
And my kid was in a camp with him. Okay. And so, you know, I approached Mark and said, hey, if you ever need some help with your varsity boys, you know, just some working on skills, some conversations with them. And he said, absolutely, I'll take you on that offer. I didn't know I was interviewing for a job. He asked me to be an assistant for him. And I was just like, okay, I was talking about individual work, but all right, let's see if I can make that happen. And, you know, just kudos to that guy. And I appreciate him bringing me on and having trust in me to be an assistant coach for him for the past 2 years.
But Blanks wants to be more than just a coach for Schwabanon. He wants to be a resource and a role model for these students.
to be. And I told the guys that I coach, I told, Nick Singer, the athletic director over at Ashwaubenon, mm-hmm. thank him for giving me this opportunity. But I told him, I said, I want to be a support and a resource on and off the court for these guys, you know. So, you know, in every way I can help, in every shape and way I can help. One of the reasons I did take it is, you know, over the summer, coaching them in summer leagues, and I got a couple texts from the boys after games and saying, hey, coach, you know, thanks for everything you do. You're an inspiration. You're a motivation to us. And I was just like, how can I not take the job? You right. know,
Blank said he took inspiration from his grandfather, who is his role model and hero.
Was my okay. greatest coach, the best coach.
Really?
Right? Yep. Starting from day one, he put the basketball in my hands, and, you know, he got on the coaches when he didn't feel like I was getting, you know,
yeah.
mistreated or whatever. But I think that was my hero. That was my greatest fan, my greatest supporter, my greatest coach was my grandfather, my hero.
When coaching high school sports, you don't just deal with students, you also deal with the parents. Blank shares that him and the parents ultimately have the same goal.
You know, I just try to convey to them, you know, the ultimate goal, right, is to see your kids do well.
Yeah.
Is to establish those rapports, those relationships, those trustworthy relationships, and know that your kids are in good hands.
As the head coach, Blanks talks about what he expects from his athletes on his team.
The passion. You know, if I'm coming with this passion, you guys have to come with that passion and match my passion, match my assistants. I have a great core of assistants coming on. So just matching that passion and showing me that you love this game and come with a purpose. That's what I've been preaching all summer. Come with a purpose.
That was Devontae Blanks, new Ashwaubenon boys basketball coach on Mino and the Mayor. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Music. Isn't it wonderful? The way it can make a bad mood better. How it can get you from standing still to your foot tapping, and then suddenly you're all over the room just dancing, feeling a vibe. Music can make a movie scene feel so much more realistic. Music is a therapy. Music. It's everywhere, all around us, all the time. And one of the many ways that music can be enhanced for you, really and truly an experience for you, is seeing it live in person. Whether it be your favorite bands on tour, someone's busking on the street, or in my case, you walk into a little establishment just to find out that they're also a little venue playing some great, great music. And yes, while the big venues are definitely once-in-a-lifetime opportunities that often can creep up, and if you have the opportunity, then yes, please do what you can to go to these big venues and experience music with thousands upon thousands of other people who are vibing at the same time as yourself. Yes, go experience that if you can. However, you may find that to do that in a frequent capacity is kind of not within your budget. If you want to see them frequently, you're going to run into some roadblocks. For instance, one of your bands is getting more popular. Ticket prices have now gone up. To get a good seat, you got to pay a lot of cash and taxes and hidden fees. And then even if you do manage to get a seat, sometimes they're up in the nosebleeds, sometimes they're really far back. You're going to find yourself more looking at a screen rather than a person who you're currently squinting, trying to get any kind of detail out of. The music is still the same. Of course, I encourage you to go get those big venues, enjoy them. But don't walk past the little ones because they may surprise you. A couple of venues in the New Wisco area honestly took me by surprise. For instance, several years back, my fiance and I decided we wanted to see the band Starset, and we saw that they were playing in Green Bay, but of course this can't be right. It said Green Bay Distillery. Why would a distillery play music? But it took us by surprise. We were able to get up close and personal, direct eye contact with the singer, and we were able to do it cheaper and with less planning than a large venue. I call that a win-win situation, but that's of course a planned small venue. Let's talk about accidentally stumbling in and going, whoa, there's a live performance here. Whoa, I'm really digging this. And that's going to be the Lyric Room, also known as Keggers. And yes, in Green Bay. It was one of those accidental things. We're walking up and down Broadway. Let's go check this place out. We walked in and music was playing live in a tiny cramped room. And the experience, even though the music wasn't something I knew, the experience almost matched those big venues. It's kind of incredible that a small, cramped room with only tens of other people could match the same vibe as a large one with thousands. So the next time that you're out and about, if you hear music coming from the inside of the building, stop in, check it out. You never know what kind of experience you're gonna accidentally put yourself into. Because when it comes to music, it can only be good, right? At least it gives you the opportunity to lead to a good night. The small venues aren't just for hipsters. They're not just for the youths. They're for everyone. Like if you're at Mackinac's in Green Bay and you're waiting at the bar, listen to the band that's playing. Actually listen. Give them a couple moments of your time. Because you could discover someone as cool as Ramona and the Flower, who often play at Mackinac's, and be involved in their journey as they go from the small to the big. Or maybe they'll just stay medium and you can enjoy them time and time again. Small venues, never pass them up. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
Thanks for listening to this jazz edition of New Wisco Weekend. I'm Todd Michaels, putting together that jazz playlist for you. I can't put together a jazz playlist without some Manhattan transfer. This is from the album Brazil. It's called Soul Food to Go.
Welcome back to New Wisco Weekend. Pete Schwabba has the classic cinema pick of the week, and I'll have a story for you on a local comedian who's bringing the Midwest to stages everywhere. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Welcome back to New Wisco Weekend, our jazz edition, and your playlist continuing with the great Billie Holiday, and I'll Be Seeing You.
In all the old familiar places.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, Green Bay comedian Kristen Leidy. And in a little while, a story on adults with disabilities finding meaningful work. Then our Truth Booth features a local celebrity and his passion for planes.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
For this week's flick, we go back to 1967 in the film In the Heat of the Night. Actors Rod Steiger and Sidney Poitier were friends in real life. They were looking for a project to work on together and found it in director Norman Jewison's Oscar-winning film. Steiger plays small-town sheriff Bill Gillespie, who finds himself in over his head when the body of a bigwig bringing jobs to his small town is found dead in the middle of the night. Steiger enlists the help of Philadelphia police detective Virgil Tibbs, played by Sidney Poitier, who happens to be passing through the town and at first finds that he is a suspect.
What'd you hit him with?
Hit whom?
Whom?
Whom? What are you? You a northern boy? What's a northern boy like you doing all the way down here?
I was waiting for the train.
But now there ain't no trains this time of morning.
Tuesdays only, 4:05 to Memphis.
You say... Well, All right, you say right.
The film is set in the Deep South during the dog days of summer. Excellent cinematography and sound add to the film's aesthetics, allowing viewers to feel the humidity and sleepiness of Sparta, Mississippi. Sound editing was just one of the five Oscars that the film took home, including Best Picture, Best Actor for Rod Steiger, and Best Film Editing by Hal Ashby, who went on to become an Oscar-nominated director himself. The film also won a Best Screenplay Oscar, and deservedly so, as the mystery of who committed the crime takes several turns and keeps viewers guessing. In addition to all the hardware, the music is expertly composed by a young Quincy Jones. At the heart of the film, though, are Portier and Steiger, both outstanding and at the top of their game. The story takes place shortly after the passing of the Civil Rights Act, and Portier and Steiger's characters encapsulate the lingering racial tension. Their scenes together comprise some of the best acting in film history. The film can be found on just about every streaming platform. If you haven't seen it already, In the Heat of the Night will very likely become one of your favorites. And that's your classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem e que passa. Doce balanço, caminho do mar.
Thanks for listening to New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
Mais que poema, é a coisa mais linda que eu já vi passar.
I've been a union organizer for 15 years. In 2018, I decided to move home to Green Bay, Wisconsin to get sober and build union power. Yeah, which is a sentence no one has ever said before. I appreciate the love on that. When I first moved home, that was not the vibe. It was more like, go home, you socialist!
I am home.
Green Bay's Kristen Leidy jokes that her day job as a union organizer doesn't inspire spontaneous eruptions of joy, but she found a release in the form of comedy.
For the past 15 years, I've been a union organizer, and no one calls us because they're having a good day. It was kind of like figuring out, okay, how can I build joy and do this in a way that fulfills me and also, you know, make people happy? And then I was living in Chicago, and I went to an open mic and thought, well, I can do that.
Luddy performs her stand-up comedy routines 3 weekends a month throughout the Midwest. She's performed in Los Angeles, Atlanta, and throughout the country. While she might be the life of the party now, she was never considered to be the class clown in school.
I was very quiet and honestly skipped school a lot.
A graduate of the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay and Preble High School, Leidy discovered her love for performing after she moved to Chicago. She began hitting open mic nights with fellow comedians to hone her craft.
And you know, like in those rooms where it is just dead silent and yeah, everyone is judging you with daggers in their eyes. Like if you can make them laugh, like, you did it.
She says it didn't take her long at all to know that this is what she wanted to be doing with her time and talents. Her fate was sealed the very first time she took to the open mic stage.
I got huge laughs in a way that just like filled my soul and made me 100% addicted.
Leidy's comedy might be given a not safe for work or NSFW tag as not being corporate clean, but she says that doesn't limit her audience.
I would say I'm more niche, you know, I'm kind of a weirdo. I like to talk about Catholic school and getting sober and sometimes politics, you know, kind of all over, just like daily life experiences here in the Midwest.
Yeah, so sober dating. Wow, that's a new level of hell. Yeah, I joined soberandsingle.com up in Green Bay and it was just me. Took myself up to Olive Garden. It's a nice time.
Leidy may have found laughs her first time behind the mic, but she says her journey in comedy has not been all glitter and pomp. There were a few obstacles that had to be overcome, including some sexism.
Yeah, there's a lot of shows that are all male lineups. It's harder as a woman, definitely. Like, you have to be on 100% of the time. You can never fail because then it's like, oh, all women aren't funny because she wasn't funny that one Tuesday night we saw her. You know, so there's a lot more judgment.
Leidy moved back to the Green Bay Bay Area, where she would like to see more venues for comedy.
That's kind of what was exciting about moving home to Green Bay. Like, I was leaving a huge art scene in Chicago, obviously, but I really wanted to build something here and something unique. And I'm excited to be back home and doing that.
Where can you hear Kristen Leidy? Well, in November 2023, Leidy was at the Altercation Comedy Fest in Austin, Texas. She recorded her first comedy album there. It's called Disassociation Vacation and is available through multiple streaming platforms and on vinyl.
Oh, man. There's no Heathers in my family. No Britneys, Tiffanys, nothing like that. I come from a long line of sturdy Midwestern women. Yeah. In my family, we have Agnes, Bernice, Martha. You break into Martha's house, you're not coming out.
Leidy also hosts a podcast called Bloody Mary, in which she and other comedians, professors, and musicians discuss their all-time favorite horror movies.
Building that jazz playlist, you have to have Stan Getz and Bob Brookmeyer, A Nightingale Sang in Berkeley Square. This is our jazz edition of New Wisco Weekend, and here's more of the song.
Coming up, how one woman returned to her home in Northeast Wisconsin with ideas to create an international jazz festival in the heart of Oshkosh. Terry Barr takes us inside this week's cover story next on New Wisco Weekend. First, the news.
I don't believe in fretting or grieving. Why mess around with strife? I never was cut out to step and strut out. Give me the simple life.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on WISS Oshkosh, WGBW Green Bay, and CivicMedia.us. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. We turn to our cover story, and this week's featured topic, jazz. So what is jazz? The dictionary defines it as American music which developed from ragtime and the blues. It's characterized by an ensemble playing syncopated rhythms and various degrees of improvisation. And it may make you want to dance. Okay, we added that part, but it does happen. And did you know that there is a fairly new, already successful jazz festival in Northeast Wisconsin? It started when Oshkosh native Erin Bain moved back to the area after moving out of state for many years. But she didn't return empty-handed. Bain brought with her creative ideas to make a difference in her hometown through music. Terry Barr introduces us to the woman behind the now internationally known Oshkosh Jazz Festival.
It is almost time for the Oshkosh Jazz Festival, and I am so happy to be able to tell you Erin Bain with the festival is joining me to talk all about it. Hi, Erin, and thanks for being here.
Hi, Terry. Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's always such a pleasure.
Tell us about Oshkosh and the Jazz Festival. How do these go together?
Well, so Oshkosh is my hometown, and I'm a jazzy kind of gal. I grew up in Oshkosh until I was 17, and then I moved away and did some things, and I always knew I wanted to come back home. And just as a person that's so passionate about this incredible music, I wanted to somehow bring what I learned along the way because I was gone for 20 years, maybe in total, between Los Angeles and Nashville. So it was my hope to kind of bring all of those experiences that I had back to the heart of my city. And with the help of an incredible team who this would not exist without and our incredible donors, we created Oshkosh Jazz Festival. And amazingly enough, this is going to be our fourth year on August 24th.
We spoke before last year's event. How have you seen the numbers grown?
Last year was our biggest year. I think we had about 3,200 people on Main Street for this free. It's wild. For this free and family-friendly event. And what's really neat is Oshkosh has this beautiful farmer's market. Every Saturday, our main street is shut down. And so on Jazz Fest Day, we just obviously continue to keep it shut down. And when all of our vendors from farmer's market load out, that's when Jazz Fest starts loading in and folks start setting up their chairs. And it's just, it's such a groovy experience to see every year different people from different walks of life coming and experiencing this music that they might not have otherwise, you know, experienced. And that's what's so fun about bringing friends I've made throughout the years that are, you know, super successful jazz musicians. I know success is obviously measured differently by everyone, but, you know, bigger names and just people that have been around the world. And it's really, really fun to look out on the audience and then the hometown and see everybody going, oh, okay, I get jazz. This is cool.
Oh, I love it. You're calling it, I guess I'll say this is the theme, classic, cozy, cool.
Yes.
What does that mean to you? What do you hope people read into that for the festival?
And this year we have John Pizzarelli headlining. And Pizzarelli is, for me, classic, cozy, and cool. I mean, for the listeners that aren't familiar with him, he is a bad on the guitar and also a great singer. He's a great storyteller. He's a great entertainer. And it's all a little bit more inside, right? Because different acts come with different configurations. And so he's going to start the first half of his headlining set with him and his other two counterparts coming from New York City. And then what's really fun is that the Water City Jazz Orchestra from the Fox Valley is going to be joining in for the second half of the set.
And oh, I so love that.
So we're going to have Pizzarelli literally meets the Oshkosh musicians playing together. They've got all the charts. They've been rehearsing. It sounds absolutely fantastic. And then, of course, we have an incredible amount of talent that will be leading up to John with Jan Monheit, with B.D. Greer Presents the Divas. We've got the Sunrise Project. We've got Eric Jacobson out of Milwaukee. And it's just kind of like I think cozy is just, I mean, obviously that's a word we maybe think about, you know, blankets and pillows and, but maybe they'll look at a little red wine and a fire. And that's kind of just what, with our lineup this year, what I was envisioning and our graphic designer, Gigi, who's incredible, put together. I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, y'all are going to have a great time and it's going to be so much fun. Mm-hmm. But it just, you know, it just, it's like a kind of groovy sort of thing we're doing this year.
Mm-hmm. It sounds wonderful. I'm talking with Aaron Bain with the Oshkosh Jazz Festival. It's happening in Oshkosh, downtown Main Street on August 24th. Now, you left yourself out of the lineup. I saw your name in there. What is this going to be like?
You did? Oh my gosh. So BD Greer Presents the Divas is this really fun group of women, and everybody brings their own style from the way they sing, from the songs they choose to the way that they dress. And it's just, it's a really fun experience to go through the different, you know, female genres of jazz. Our wonderful host, Janet Planet, will also be joining the Divas. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's where I'm going to be jumping up, is I'm going to do one with the Divas as well.
I am so happy to hear that. What would you say makes this fest so special? What makes it stand out compared to maybe any other festivals?
That's a good question. I think that what makes Oshkosh Jazz Fest different, we are about having a lot of fun. And I think that that starts from the top. Obviously, we're very serious because we have people that we are responsible for. They're incredible donations that we are so grateful for, and our community that we want to put on a great show for. But as amazing as this music is, if we're not having fun while we're creating it, and if we're not keeping the day engaging and sometimes silly and sometimes serious and sometimes, then I think, what's the point? And in my opinion, is that if you're not really just having fun with it, because I think and music is business, don't get me wrong, and it is, mm-hmm. it's serious business, but your audience and our audience and our community is only going to have as much fun as we do. And so that's really important for us. And our team has become, you know, friends that are family. And so our main goal is to make sure that we're putting on a festival where people are not only hearing great music, but they're being entertained, because you can hear great music and not necessarily be entertained. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with that, you know.
Right, right.
People are super capable and super talented, mm-hmm. but that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be entertaining. And that's just really important for us because one of our goals when we started Oshkosh Jazz Fest was to be able to extend the olive branch to people that might hear Jazz Fest and go, oh, I don't like jazz. It's like, no, just give it a shot, you know, and then they get here and then they have fun. They go, oh, this is really cool. You mm-hmm. know,
do you have any special suggestions or tips for those who will be attending or maybe this will be their first time there?
Absolutely. So as I said, the farmer's market ends around, I think it's 1:15. Mm-hmm. So bring your chairs and get set up. We have this great program in downtown Oshkosh on Main Street called Dora. So you are able to patronize our wonderful bars and restaurants, grab a drink and then bring it outside. So don't, you know, you're just not bringing drinks or anything. That's all there for you. And that's also a great thing because then we're, you know, patronizing our downtown, which is also so important. I would check the weather. We've kind of had it all at this point. We have had just super, super heat, sun. We have had the gusty winds. We've had rain. And in that case, folks, when we have that, and just keep an eye on the Oshkosh Jazz Fest Facebook page because I'm always updating if weather does look like it's becoming inclement because we ran into the Grand Opera House, which is such another wonderful donor for Oshkosh Jazz Fest. So, nice. You know, that's where our bands rehearse in the morning and kind of get tuned up and warmed up. But our year two, we did end up having to utilize the theater and we were so grateful for it. Right. But being able to share this incredible music with our community that might not otherwise have the ability or interest or, you know, whatever to travel and see, you know, these super top notch acts, but both local and, you know, international. But we kind of wrap it up all in one for you for one fun day. And so we hope that you join us because it really is special.
Thank you, Erin. Erin is again with the Oshkosh Jazz Festival. Erin, have a wonderful festival. We'll be thinking of you.
Thank you so much, Terry. I appreciate you so much. And thank you so much for having us and getting the word out.
It's the weekend in Northeast Wisconsin. That means it's New Wisco Weekend.
Every time we're out and about in New Wisco, we like to offer people the opportunity to share their story. What excites them? What they're most passionate about? The truth in their lives, whether good or bad. We call it the Civic Media Truth Booth. Today, we catch up with a local celebrity of sorts. Dick Nepinski's name and voice is heard all over the place during EAA week. He joins us today to tell us why he found passion in airplanes.
I came out of the broadcast journalism side, and it was just kind of, I've always loved airplanes. And back 30 some odd years ago, they had an opening and came here, and they were looking for somebody who liked airplanes and could write a little bit. And that started it. And from that, it gave me the opportunity to learn to fly myself, gave me the opportunity to meet people from around the world and some very famous people and just some very cool people. And it kind of gets in your blood. And here I am some 30 years later, still gigging along, you know, sweating and huffing and puffing and doing all the things to make this show work.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW, 98.3 WISS, and the Civic Media app. Make sure and find us on Facebook and follow along.
When a person with disabilities wants to work, Curative Connections in Green Bay says, let's do it. Sean Franken, Director of Employment and Trainer Coordinator, says Curative Connections works to train people who may not have experience in the workforce, have a lapse in employment, or are learning to manage life with a new disability that makes traditional work difficult. They serve adults with disabilities of all ages.
Age range 18 to, I think we have early 50s right now. So it kind of runs the gamut. We have people that have suffered traumatic brain injuries. We have autistic members, Down syndrome. So if you're willing to work, we'll certainly have you.
Franken says many of the classes and programs offered by Curative Connections help work on developing soft skills or people skills. He said the whole goal behind the workforce programs is to bring people into the community.
Many of our members have been told, no, you can't do this your entire life, or your opportunities for employment are limited, right? So they come in our training program, gain the skills necessary, gain confidence, and ultimately gain a job in the community, and to see that progression. I got into this to make a difference, but it's truly our members that make a difference for me.
Franken told a story about one of his members with autism. He says that member has thrived following his journey with Curative Connections.
So we had a gentleman come in at age 18 or 19, had really no social interaction, was not really a fan of the program or the staff or the other members, kind of shut down. Through the years, he gained confidence. Yeah, each member, we work on a goal, right? So it's a very person-centered program. Some people have three or four goals they're working on. Some have one. Some go through the program in 6 months. Some are there several years. Our goal is to set, not to just find people jobs, but to set them up for success so they can keep the jobs. And this individual just got a job at Goodwill several months ago, and he's thriving. You know, we offer coaching assistance when our members get jobs. He is off the coaching. He's totally independent at work. And he loves it.
Curative Connections will help members find jobs with resume building, filling out applications, interviewing support, and on-the-job coaching. The organization also has programs for people with memory loss and dementia, including the Yesteryear Village. They teach independent living skills, such as budgeting and cooking. Learn more about Curative Connections at curativeconnections.org. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
Keeping your jazz playlist going on New Wisco Weekend, enjoy Sam Greenfield, Chips and Dip. I like that stuff. New Wisco Weekend.
A little bit earlier, you may have heard the name Janet Planet mentioned in our cover story. Coming up in just a bit, Terry catches up with this year's festival host and jazz sensation, Northeast Wisconsin's own Janet Planet. You won't want to miss it. This is New Wisco Weekend.
Welcome back to New Wisco Weekend. Here's Terry Barr.
You are listening to the song Hope Springs from the great Janet Planet. Tell us about Hope Springs.
Oh, you know what? It's such a fantastic story. During the COVID lockdown, we were doing Zoom lessons because she was a client of mine for voice. She also went through during COVID lockdown, and she wouldn't mind of me sharing this, by the way, breast cancer and a full mastectomy. Her ultimate goal was to go into the studio and sing the songs that is on this particular project called Hope Springs, songs that she wrote.
Oh.
A brilliant woman at probably one of the darkest times of her life sat down and wrote these songs. We went into the studio and put the tracks down with the musicians who are just wonderful, Mark Ernest on bass, Ryan Korb on drums, and Matt Bookman on piano. With the idea of Susan, Weinshank is her name, going in and then tracking the vocals once she was ready. She emailed me and said, I can't do it. I said, Susan, these are such beautiful, inspirational songs. Do you mind if I, and she said, yes, please, please do it. So I went in and I sang her songs. What I've learned about it, the music, they're so hopeful. Hope Springs.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. So yeah, Hope Springs, the music of Susan Weinshank.
What an incredible story. And it's almost like you are paying tribute to her in this way and everything that she's been through.
Because she's a survivor of breast cancer, they have actually helped women that are going through the same process. So it's a special, special project.
You know what's really cool about these songs too? Everybody can read into it whatever they need from a song like this.
You know, absolutely. And frankly, I'm glad you brought that up, because as a deliverer of lyric, And so the idea is, how do you bring people in, okay? Leaving space and really allowing them to understand what you're saying as if you are telling their story.
Mm-hmm. Janet is going to be your host and a performer. You're doing double duty at the Oshkosh Jazz Festival in Oshkosh on August 24th. What do these mean to you?
It's a wonderful way to listen to music. Singing, performing at festivals is actually my favorite venue. So having the opportunity to play this improvisational music, to connect with listeners, because jazz crowds, they listen.
Let's go backwards a little bit. How did you actually get started in music? And what in particular drew you to being or wanting to be a jazz singer?
I like to call myself a working singer. Yeah. As a kid, playing guitar, my first major, inspirations were Frank Zappa and Joni Mitchell. And then on to Aretha Franklin, who really just blew my mind at about 19 years old. And so my first band was a blues band, and I sang Chicago-style blues, belting and so forth. And then eventually I got into the Great American Songbook and started studying Ella and all the singers that you study when you get into those genres. I think the jazziest part of what we do is never sing the song or play the song exactly the same twice. That is the element of jazz. It's improvisational, mm-hmm. being in the moment and reaching people through these songs. And I love it, and I continue to study, and I continue to learn, and I continue to teach.
And you've continued to call Northeast Wisconsin home. Why did you choose to do that?
Really, I mean, this community, Fox Cities, there was a lot of really, really awesome music going on here. When I talk about my journey, I say I come from the school of do. Okay, so now fast forward. The internet came into play, and now we're known, we're distributed really around the world. We find that out regularly. We stayed here because we could afford to. I mean, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And it's a quality of living, too, that many of my peers that are my age, they choose now to live where they want to live. Under the category is we ain't done yet. My husband and I, we were informed that we have to move our studio space, which we've been at for 10 years here in Oshkosh, to another location. We learned last October, we have our space. And we're going to bring not only our recordings, continue to record, but the space is big enough where we want to bring our educational tools. My husband is a whiz in the studio. He's an awesome saxophonist, he's a composer, and he's an arranger. And it's also big enough where we will be able to do house concert type things.
Oh, awesome.
Where we can invite and maybe even incorporate some of these private events as fundraisers.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
Yeah, so Steel Moon Soundstage, it's going to be called. Okay. And we're very excited about it. And this is the first interview I've done where I'm actually talking about it now.
So you heard it here first.
Yes.
We're going to end this interview with a new song, What Greater Joy. When I listened to this song, I just smiled through the whole song. What can you tell me about this one?
Well, that's definitely one of the Susan Weinschenk pieces. Okay. And I asked her, I said, what made you write this? And she talks about, when you meet someone, how, you get along so well and how different people can come into your lives and give you an uplifting moment in your day. What greater joy is there than this? No greater joy, no greater bliss than to find someone who sees who you are, to have a moment that you share, a moment when there's care, one brief moment when the world seems right. So I don't know if that was the right key, but that is like, yeah, this is so cool. And she, again, wrote it when she was at her darkest moments.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, here we go. This beautiful song, What
Greater joy, and you have brought me so much joy today. Thank you to Janet Planet for being here with us.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you so much.
What greater joy is there than this? No greater joy, no greater bliss than to find someone who sees who you are. To have a moment that you share, a moment when there's care, one brief moment when the world feels...
New Wisco Weekend is produced by Todd Michaels, written and directed by Lisa Hale. Features correspondents Terry Barr, Conrad Krieger, Pete Schwabba, and Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime. lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.